Okay. So I'm gonna mute everybody who is on Zoom, and if you want to add something, you can.
Hello, Siri.
You can unmute yourself. Right now, I'm gonna mute everyone who's on Zoom. Okay, welcome everybody. It is Wednesday. The date is April 19th, corresponding to the 29th of Nisan, which is also my father's yahrzeit. And this is our regular weekly class in Parshat HaShavua, but it's also a yahrzeit, a shiur in memory of my father, Moshe Mendel ben Menachem Nachum v'Yocheved Gittel. This is his first year. And we're going to, at the end, for those who want to stay, Gabi made a really nice video montage of my dad with pictures of him and kids and grandkids and great grandkids. So if you want to stick around for 6 minutes, give or take, at the end, you're welcome too. But if you don't want to, we understand montages are not for everybody. Okay, so I just want to make sure that I'm paying attention to everyone who's coming in. Sorry about that. I have to do the admin and the class. Okay. So everyone has a sheet in front of them. And if you're on screen, you see the text on the screen. Parshat Tazria Metzora this Shabbos. It's also Rosh Chodesh. And we're going to look at a very interesting and what I think is a strange halacha. In this week's parsha, and try to learn some lessons. Well, try to understand what the psukim mean first, and then try to learn some lessons from them, which I think apply to my father. Although when I started preparing this class, I decided I wasn't going to prepare something that's specifically related to my dad, but I think it does. Maybe by chance or maybe not by chance. We'll get to that. We'll get to that as well. Okay. So, the pasuk is, Perek Yud Gimel, and it's pasuk Yud Gimel, but we'll read the pasuk beforehand. We're talking about a situation here where someone has tzarat, which we will just use the word biblical leprosy. It's not quite leprosy, but we don't really know what it is in our day and age. So we'll just call it biblical leprosy for lack of a better translation. And there's a difference in the halacha as to the person's status. If the biblical leprosy, if the tzarat is on part of their body or if the tzarat is on their entire body. And it may not be what you expect. So here's what the psukim say. V'im paroach tifrach hatzarat ba'or v'chista hatzarat et kol or hanega mirosho v'yad raglav l'chol mar'ei einei hakohen. If the eruption of this biblical leprosy spreads out over the skin so that it covers all the skin of the affected person from head to foot, wherever the kohen can see, v'ra'ah hakohen v'hinei chista hatzarat et kol b'saro. So the Kohen sees that this tzarat now has covered the whole body. V'tiher et hanega kulo hafach lavan tahoru. He shall pronounce as pure the affected person who is pure from having turned all white. Now, what I didn't share with you are the psukim earlier in the perek that say if the tzarat does not cover the entire body, the Kohen looks at it and renders the person tameh, renders the person ritually impure. Right? So it may come as strange to you, and it certainly came as strange to almost all the commentaries, that if someone is partially affected by tzarat, they're tameh, but if they're completely affected by tzarat, they're tahor. Right? It would seem, at first glance at least, right, that it should be the opposite. That if a person has a little something, they're tahor, certainly in yichasi, right, in relation to the whole body, you would think that a little bit makes them tahor, and if the whole body is covered, that shows that they're completely full of tzaraf, then they are that they are tameh. So why is it right that the opposite is true? Okay, that's the question we're going to deal with today, and we're going to look at basically two approaches. We're going to look at a pshat approach, how some of the classic commentaries on the Chumash try to understand this from just a pshat, a straightforward perspective. And then we're going to look at something which is a little more drushy, I think, right? A little more from the school of Musar, let's say, right? A little bit more not pshat, but can to teach us something. Okay? So before we do that, let's see if anyone has any thoughts. If anyone wants to share a potential answer to this question that they have in mind, just go ahead, unmute yourself, and go for it. Or anyone in the room who is not on mute.
Are there other medical conditions where this kind of discussion takes place, or is it primarily a skin?
Tzarat is a skin condition. Right. There are other physiological conditions that the Torah deals with. But in terms of this particular unique thing where a little bit makes you tameh and a lot makes you tahor, I don't think there are other examples of it. But there are other physiological things discussed in the Torah.
That make one impure?
Yes. Yeah. For example, like a woman who's having her period, right? That's a physiological thing. So that is something that makes the woman tameh. Or even in other situations, it would be similar. So yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. But this is the opposite. Right. This is the opposite. A little bit of the person who has tzarat is tamei, and if they're totally covered with the nega, with the affliction, they're pure.
Well, that's exactly what she's saying.
Yeah. Is there a connection between those part versus whole, you mean? No. I'm sure there is, but now you have to figure it out. You brought it up. You have to. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. I like that. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Okay. So let's look first at some pshat. And the first is the Ibn Ezra, which you have on the page and on the screen. The Ibn Ezra commenting on Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'tihera Tanega, the Kohen shall pronounce this pure. Ki kivar yatsa hanega kulo lachutz. This is a pure physiological explanation. The nega, the plague, has already surfaced and removed itself from the afflicted. It's almost as to say the real affliction is underneath the skin, sounds like. But once it comes to the top, it means it's already being cured. It's like it's already being removed from the person. It's surfaced. And it's leaving from the person. Vitam vitiher etanega bidibur sheoto hanega lo yitma achirim. So, and what does it mean, vitiher, he shall pronounce it pure, is that he shall verbally announce it, and also will make tameh will make other people unclean. So this is a purely physiological response to a physiological event, right? The person is completely covered, and it just shows it's leaving. It needs to get out somehow. It can only get out through the skin, so it comes to the surface first, and then will eventually disappear, and therefore the person is completely. Okay. And there are a lot of commentaries that share this view. For example, the Tur, who has two commentaries printed in the classic Mikraot Gedolot Chumash. One is the Tur Ha'aroch, the long version, and one is the short version. Lucky for you, I brought the long version. The Tur says as follows, but his point is really at the end. Where it's highlighted, ulefi hapshat tam tarat hapricha ki kishahanega mitpashet So the pshat meaning here is that once the nega covers the entire body, as eino nichnas ba'omek habasar. A little different. But this is the difference between breadth and depth, right? Once, which is also a very interesting way to think about something. The Musarists like this also, because they like to say, they say this proves, right, something that is just skin deep, it's not really meaningful. So this, even though it's over the whole body, it's only skin deep. It's not even skin deep. So therefore, it's pure. Right? According to the plain meaning of the text, the reason for the apparent paradox that when covered with the affliction from head to toe, the affected person is considered ritually pure, is eino nichnas ba'omek habasar, is that the very spread over the entire body of this affliction is a sign that does not penetrate further into the body. V'hu siman shekarov lehitrapot. That's similar to the Ibn Ezra. That's a sign that the person is close to being completely recovered. V'chol aguf az uchal v'yorei tafta. Because it's only, again, skin deep. That's, again, a physiological explanation to this, that the widespread nature of it on the surface of the skin indicates that it's not penetrating further into the body. I don't know. What's interesting to me about this is it's unclear, right, if the Kohen at the time, did a post-mortem on someone who died from having Tzarat, and actually saw that the nega actually goes into the flesh. I don't think we have clear indication from the psukim on that.
There is a pasuk that before this,
yeah,
says that the tzarat is deep.
Oh, that's omek, right? So uses the word omek. You're right. Correct. Thank you, Rabbi. Right. So it did go in. Right. You're right. Thank you.
The pshat is that the kohen, I mean, just like, let's say, a woman who's in nida, and she brings to a rav,
right,
and there's like 20 different shades of possible blood, and he knows what's
right
or what's coming. Mm-hmm. The shot is that the kohen knew if it was deeper
or not,
skin,
right,
or now, and so both of these are saying that the kohen could tell that it had already affected, it was on its way out, and it wasn't deeper than the skin.
Right.
And therefore, it can't make anyone else tamei.
Right.
And so therefore, he calls it pure.
Right, very good, exactly. Okay.
Rabbi.
Hold on 1 second. One second, Eddie. Gabi's talking. Right.
As opposed to one partial.
Yeah, that's what they seem to be saying. Yeah. They're both saying that. Although the tour is a little more explicit about that, where he says, "Itanega mitpashet as eino nichnas beomek habasar." The Ibn Ezra didn't get into the question of omek, of the depth of it, but it certainly can be read that way. That it's coming out. Yeah. Okay, Eddie.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how to word this. Tzarat, is there any modern medicine that explains any of this, that it justifies some of this? Or is it totally don't know anything about it?
No, that's why at the outset I called it biblical leprosy, because we don't really have an analog to it in contemporary medicine, right? We don't really have anything that matches up to the description in the Torah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, and the Ralbag says something similar, just showing you that this is a trend within the commentaries. The Ra'ah Kohen Vineh Kista Tzarat et Kol Besaro B'Tiheret Anega Kulo Afach Lavan Hinei Echshov Shasiba Bazek Kishera'ah. This is source number 4. Kishera'ah. Sorry, I didn't move the screen. There we go. Kishera'ah HaKohen Shitchil Lidchot Ze Ha'afush L'chitzoni Haguf, the akarcha hire hit pashtuto bichlal haguf, Hine yore ze al memshel tachom hayisodi. So the Rabban adds that the Kohen saw two things. He saw first that it's coming to the surface and then starts to spread over the whole entire body. And once the Kohen sees that, again, along the lines of the Ibn Ezra and along the lines of the Tor, that this is a sign that it's no longer in the depth of the person and it is coming out, and therefore he declares the person Tahor. That's a trend that you find in terms of how to understand this amongst a number of the commentaries. That's sort of step one in this.
Rabbi, if I can add, yeah. I just thought this could be comparable to someone who's sick, maybe even very sick, and then they start to sweat out the disease. So if you look at it from a very painful knee way, it's like, oh my gosh, this person's sweating. But
it's healing. They're healing. They're expelling the...
It's actually expelling the poison.
Right. Right, exactly. Right. Thank you. I just saw that my friend Usher Lopatin jumped on here. And we have perfect timing, Usher, because I'm about to start the Netziv.
Oh, Skaya.
So the Naftali to Yehuda Berlin comes at this from a very different perspective. And along with it come really beautiful things to learn. So the Netziv says, first he quotes a pasuk on Eov, which is pasuk Perek Lamed Vav pasuk Yud. It's source number 6 in the booklet and on the screen. Vayigel aznam limosar vayomer ki yishuvun me'aveh. He opens their understanding by discipline and orders them back from mischief. But the Netziv is going to understand this pasuk a little differently. And so we're going to now go back to source number 5. Okay. Dichtiv bi'iyov, he quotes the pasuk. Ukvar bi'arnu b'sefer bereshit, resh parshat vayigash, d'mashma'ut vayigel aznam, d'hayisurim einam ba'im b'chozek. Really, really neat. Now, when God brings yisurim, now, this could be a little dangerous because we're getting into theology and God bringing suffering. I don't want to go down that road. I want to just focus on this one point, which is so beautiful. That is, when God brings the suffering, einam ba'im b'chozek kol kach, ella kimidaber el ha'ozen. That's what the pasuk in Eov is saying. Vayigel aznam lemusar, right? That he speaks into their ear, the musar. When someone speaks into your ear, they don't have to speak so loud. They're close. It's a whisper. So the yisurim don't come bechozek kol kach, ella kemidaber el haozem. Rather, it comes as if someone is speaking into your ear. That they know that this is God. And they will repent before it gets out to everyone knows. Right? Because I guess then if one doesn't pay attention the first time, then it gets worse and worse and everyone's going to know. Again, I'm not suggesting, I don't believe that every time someone is suffering from the Yisurim, that it's a punishment from God. I don't believe that's the case. But what the Netziv is saying, if it is, this is how it works. Now, the trouble is we don't ever know if it is. So we don't have to go down that road. We don't know things like that. And it's probably, therefore, better for us to just take the humble approach and say, we don't know. But the Netziv is saying, when God does this, it's like a whisper. It doesn't come like a tidal wave. Okay, yes. Precisely. God's trying to get our attention. There are two ways to get someone's attention. You could scream at them, or you could whisper at them, if you're close enough. This is actually beautiful in another way, because it's saying that God, even though God is bringing the Yisurim, God is still close enough to the person to be able to whisper in their ear. That's also a nice image of a sort of like an Imo Anochi Bitzara type of situation. But so that's what he says. So what's going on now? So based on that, he explains, continuing in source number 7, Vikan hu kimo kain im lishono saruach bilashon hara uchidome ba'avonot shemivin sarat ba'im simane tum'a ligalot azno sheyashuv rapelo. The Gemara goes through a whole list of things. I think it's 6 things the Gemara says that cause sarat. One of them is lashon hara. So a person is guilty of these sins and they are having sarat. How does this work? God is whispering it. It's a little bit of something at the beginning. And so if you have a little tzarat, God is telling you, hey, time to shape up. But what happens if you have a lot of tzarat? What does that mean? Because the whole equation, the verse from Eov is that God whispers the Yisurim. He gives us a little bit of them. He gives one a little bit of them. But what happens if one has a lot of them? What does that mean about the person? If the person has a little bit of them, it means that God is whispering in their ear. But if the person has a lot of them, what does it mean? So this is what the Netziv says, that this is so powerful. About the parcha bekulo, ein tzarich od lihitra'a al yedei tum'ah. Shrei kevar yisura v'zuamato yadua l'kol. If a person has a lot of tzarah, you don't need this idea of whispering. Everyone knows. Alkein v'tihera tanega lo sha'adam tahor. The nega is tahor, but the person is in bad shape. That's as we go back to the psukim. It doesn't say that the Kohen says the person is tahor. It says v'tihera tanega. The nega is tahor, but the person, I think what the Nesiv is saying, the person is too far gone. He's not listening to God's whispering, so God just said, here's the whole thing, and everyone else is going to know about you. It's not that the person is tahor and doesn't need repentance. It's not working. If the whole point of tzarat is to get the person to repent, and God gives them a little bit of tzarat, a little bit more of tzarat, it doesn't work, then the whispering methodology hasn't worked. And then God has this other method of covering the person entirely with tzarat. But in that case, the person is so far gone that he's not a bar musar. He's not paying attention to the whisper, of God. So when I first saw this, this was my sort of the way I was going to conclude. Right? This is the message that there comes a point where you can be just too far gone. It's not that one is never capable. I don't believe that God ever shuts the door on tshuva. But here, in this particular case, this type of message from God is not being heard by the subject. But yeah. The Tarat is a...
The Tarat is just an indication.
Right.
As opposite from maybe the other person, that is what is causing it to come out.
So in this case, because the person is a particular type, because he's whatever, stubborn, whatever the case may be, the tumah is from the person. That's right. That's a very good hahara. Yeah.
You could also compare this to bringing a karban.
Okay.
The only people who got a karban is the if it's the maybe, you don't bring a
right.
Karban. You would think it's just the
abba. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
Right. Amazing. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Chogyang, okay, he'll say a prayer, but it's just the opposite. Is that what it's showing? Is if someone does it by mazing, meaning on purpose, it means that the karban process won't work for them. They have to do
something else, right?
Deeper level,
right?
Bring in karma. So here's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
That the person is now covered with sarat. It's like going through the whole thing with the with the, with the birds and everything, and the isolation. He's not going to get it.
Right. Need something more.
Need something beautiful.
Yeah. So this was the idea, but then I came across an essay by Rabbi Baruch Simon in his excellent series on Parsha called Imrei Baruch, 5 volumes, one for each sefer, where he doesn't focus on this notion of how far gone the person is. He's more focused on this idea that the Netziv introduces early on of that the Yisurin Einam Ba'im Bechozek, right? That when God wants to get our attention, it's at least at first gently. And he brings a couple of really beautiful Mamarei Chazal and other sources that just focus on this. I wanted to share them, and then I'll share something about my father, because this is the part that reminded me about my father. So first he quotes the Gemara in Masechet Sota, Tanu Rabbanan Le'olam Te Smol Doche V'Yamin Mikarene. Right, so you have to also remember that in Gemara language, smol, even though I'm a lefty, so I take offense at this, the left hand is the weak hand. And the right hand, which is interesting, because in halacha, when they say a person is a lefty, they say his left hand is everyone's right hand. So that is, anyway, that's a side point. But here, what's the point here, right? When one is pushing away, when one is like, admonishing, that's with your weak hand, right? But when you pull someone close, it's with your strong hand. Any admonishment has to be gentle, has to be weak, right? And then he goes through a whole group of people who blew it, did not understand that this is the right way to give admonishment. It's just a really nice idea in terms of the weak hand. And then he quotes this pasuk in Mishlei: Al tocheach leit pen yisna eka tocheach lechacham via hevcha. So pshat is, don't rebuke a leit, a scoffer, or someone who's not serious, because the person's going to hate you. But reprove a wise man, meaning someone who's not serious. Don't waste your time, because not going to listen anyway. But someone who is a serious person, who's interested in self-improvement, you could talk to them. However, the Shla, you see his on the bottom, his years on the top of the next page, says something different. He says as follows. This is the top of the last page. Kisho chicham b'divrei Musa. He's talking about Moshe. Siper ma'alatam. Avu lachem anashim chachamim v'novim v'yidoyim, hu al derech ha-pasuk, al tocheach leitz penis na'echa, etc. Ha'inyan kishyata rotze lo chiyach et ha'chad, al tomar lo kach v'kach ata garua. Meaning when it says al tocheach leitz, it means don't say you're a leitz. Right? Don't say whatever insult you're going to use. Don't. It doesn't mean don't insult a leitz. It means don't say that the person, don't use that language when you're trying to admonish. You have to do it nicely. That's the end of the pasuk is. Hocheach chacham, say, right? There's two ways. There are two ways that the musarists approach musar. One is I'm a zero, I'm a nothing, right? The other is we're created b'tzelem elokim, right? We have all this amazing potential. You're just not reaching your potential. That's hocheach chacham. Tell the person how amazing they are, and then they'll achieve their potential. I could have used my rebbe's in school, having learned this shla. That would have made a big difference, I imagine. V'yahevcha, ha'inan shetad rotze lochiach et achad, al tomar lo kach v'kach ata garua, ki az yisna echa v'lo yishma ledevarcha. The person's not going to listen to you. That's the point, right? You don't put people down, and that's what I think the Netziv was getting at when he said that God sort of whispers, it's private. Also, that's also another element of the whisper. It's a private thing. It's not a public type of admonishment. And finally, from the book itself, from Imre Baruch, Rabbi Simon says as follows: "V'alderach zeh matzinu etzel asiyat bigdei hakuhuna shemar hakatuv v'yata tedaber al kol chachmei lev asher mileitiv ruach chachma v'yasu et bigdei aron l'kadsho l'chanoli." So this is the instruction to make the special garments of the Kohen. So I tried to find this in the books of the Chatam Sofer, but I couldn't. So I just brought the quote from this other book. V'katav b'sefer Chatam Sofer, ha'kavana b'ze al pi ma shekatav ha'chovot ha'levavot, ki bilvot ha'nashim chachma netu'a. People have an ingrained and essential wisdom. Im yavo mi sheyo'oreram al ze yotzi ha'matmun ha'hu, v'galel ein kol. If the teacher understands this about a person, or any person understands this, and comes to sort of their attempt to awaken the innate chachma within a person, then they will, and it will come out. V'im lav yen elam ki gargar hazarua she'im ya'ader v'yichro she'tzmach v'im lo yirakev. Then it's going to stay there like an uncultivated seed. If it's not watered and cultivated, it's going to just rot in the ground. V'zeo shamar Hashem yitbarach l'Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what God said to Moshe. Liot ki hu yitbarach milei otam chachmat lev. God filled them with this wisdom. Shlichim l'mi sheyorer otam v'yodiein ze kidei lehotzi chachmatam hatakua b'koach el hapoel. All they needed was someone to awaken their wisdom, to know what to do. L'ze amar v'yata tedaber el kol chachmei lev. So God says to Moshe, speak to everyone who's wise of heart. What are you going to say to them? You are full of wisdom. God filled you with wisdom. That they are full of wisdom. And then once you build them up, then their inherent wisdom is going to come out. And they'll be able to build, to make and fashion these very complicated garments. So what Rabbi Simon is doing is bringing all these little examples, right, of this idea of what it means to lovingly try to correct someone. God does it with a whisper. Are we not supposed to do it b'derech zilzul, in a way that makes someone feel low? We're supposed to remind people that we all have this inherent wisdom, this inherent chachma within us, and all we need is someone to awaken it within us. Maybe we know people like that in our life, right? People who just turned us on, right? We weren't particularly interested in the subject. We weren't particularly apt at something, and all of it. We met someone, and that teacher just, you know, was the person who clicked for us, right? That's the type of person that the Chatam Sofer is talking about in this section, the person who reminds us that we have wisdom and goodness in us, and the proper way to get the best out of someone is not to bring them down. The proper way to get the best out of someone is to lift them up. It's certainly actually a very contemporary way, right, to look at chinuch and education. And I think something very, very beautiful. So just before I say a quick thing about my dad, just to review, right? We start off with a strange question. Why is it that a person who's completely covered with tzaraat is tahor, is pure, while a person that has a little bit of tzaraat is tameh? We saw the triad of the Ibn Ezra, the Tur, and the Ralbag all essentially saying something very similar, that this is a sign that the tuma is being, as Rabbi Trugman said, sweated out of the person. And so it's a sign that it's ending and it's only skin deep and therefore it's no longer tzaraat. And then we came to the Netziv, who looked at it from a little bit of a different way, that a little bit of tzaraat is a whisper from God. Recognize that the person still has the capacity to do tshuva, but once the person is not listening to the whispers, then there's a lot, then it's publicized to everyone, and that sarat means that person is not really listening. And then we went from there to the idea that the notion of that God whispers, that yisurim einam ba'im b'chozek. Now we don't bring, humans don't bring yisurim, suffering on other people, but we're often in situations in our life where we feel that we have to say something to someone and try to fix the situation. And so the proper way to do it is to build the person up in the sense of that second type of musr, which is to indicate to a person how much inner, as the Chatam Sofer, inner potential they have, and that will ultimately lead to the person being able to achieve their actual potential. The reason, as I was preparing this actually sort of reminded me of my father, because he was a person who not often is actually quite rare. But when he wanted to tell me that maybe I wasn't, acting exactly how he thought I should, it was always very gentle. It was always sort of this whisper in the ear. It was never something that embarrassed me, God forbid. It was always about, you have this inner more potential than you may be showing at this moment. I hadn't thought about that until I got into this discussion, this third part of the discussion. I hadn't really thought about that, but that's something that my father was always really good about. I did mention at the funeral that one of the ways he did that was he would leave me a voicemail, which is a really interesting way to do it now, because no one else hears it. It's only me. And it was often that I should call my mother, but also some other things. And most of the time, he only had great things to say. I would send him my drashot before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and he would always think they were out of this world, fantastic. But from time to time, when he had a little musar to give, it was always in this line of the Netziv and the Chatam Sofer, which I didn't appreciate then, unfortunately, but I certainly appreciate now in the context of what we just learned. So I want to, with that, end our shiur, and I just want to welcome a few people who are here, family members, and ask if any family members want to say something. No pressure. My mother's on. My sister is on. I see. Maybe some of my children are on, my nieces and some nieces and nephews, maybe on, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, but no pressure. If anyone wants to say anything, you could unmute yourself and share something now. Otherwise, we'll say goodnight.
Barry, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Barry?
Yes.
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 I wanted to say about your father that he was the peacekeeper. He was the peacemaker, right? Like Yaakov. Was that the one, Rodef Shalom?
That was Aaron.
I mean Aaron. Yeah. He reminded me of that person.
Okay, very
sweet.
Okay,
very gentle, very sweet, like a gentle giant. That's the expression we'd be called for him. Quiet, but when he spoke, his words were measured.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. If there's nobody else, then I will say good night. And thank you for coming on. I'll just say my father's name again, Moshe Mendel ben Menachem Nachum v'Yocheved Gittel. May his neshama have an aliyah. His yahrzeit is tomorrow. So if you find yourself in need of admonishing anyone tomorrow, especially be gentle. And Mindy, did you want to say something?
Actually, yes. I don't know. Do you hear me?
We hear you.
First of all, it's wonderful to see you all, and in particular, Gabi, and one of my favorite students, Ami. Great to see you. So needless to say, your father was a wonderful, special man, absolutely a peacemaker, and Olav Shalom and wrote Dave Shalom and his Neshama Shed Avin Aliyah. I just wanted to comment that when you were giving the Dvar Torah, the first, my mind went totally in a different way. First of all, you should know that medically, not that I'm a doctor, but I've been experienced with others that when somebody was really sick and had an infection and it broke through over the entire body, the doctors always told me that was a good sign. It means that the person was on his way to mend and improve. So that okay. might now. Okay. So thank obviously you. The rabbis are correct too, but I'm just telling you medically, the doctors agree. Number two, when you brought up Vayagel Oznam Musar from Eov, I thought you mentioned Parshas Vayigash. So when you mentioned, I thought you mentioned Vayigash. When you meant Vayigash.
Yeah.
Okay, so what came to my mind was totally different. What came to my mind, I hope you don't mind from sharing, is what I thought about Yosef. That right at the beginning when he tells his brothers, you know, Ani Yosef, and the brothers are embarrassed, and they start, as Rashi says, not so good. They were embarrassed because of all that they did. They were moving backwards. And Rashi there says that he called them back, Bilshon Raka, v'tachanunim, don't worry about it, I'll take us food, don't be upset, don't get angry, go back home, everything is okay. I mean, he does whisper to them. There's a mafarish that says that Yosef whispered to them, look, I am Yosef, Asher Machartem Oti Mitzrayim, and you did sell me to Egypt, down to Egypt. He shows that he has a bris, but he said it in Tachanunim. He didn't attack them, he said it privately. He told everybody else to leave the room, as you know the story. Everybody else... Yeah. And when he gave to me, it was Yosef giving the Musar in a as nice a way as possible to his brothers privately. Does that make any sense at all?
That's beautiful. Thank you. That's a great add-on. I'm going to add it to my shiur and pass it on as my own.
Well, that's fine. So that's how my mind worked. That right away I thought about Yosef. When he admitted, you know, revealed himself to his brothers, and that little, you know, he gave them Musar, but it was done privately and quietly, and told them not to be upset and to calm down and to go home and not argue.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you.
My mind, sorry, okay. My mind works. You, whatever.
Gabi, I mentioned before, Gabi made a video montage of my dad, so. People who don't want to stay on for this are welcome to leave. But if family members want to stay on, I'll share it on the screen and you can watch it. While you're watching it, I'll
Barry?
My guest. Yes, yes, yes.
No, it's Penny.
Oh, hey, Penny.
How are you doing? When you were sharing the shear and specifically, you know, the thoughts about your dad, the whisper of the Musar, also his manner of not just Musar, but the story you shared at the Levaya last year, where he would open up the sefer, the sitter, to the guy next door, next to him, so he could see and encourage the person also with a whisper, with a gentleness, and make somebody feel included and part of the community, was another one of the personal mitos that you shared last year that also reflects the same motif and is you know, I think it's a great example for for myself and thinking about your dad, at this important yard site.
Thank you. Thank you, Penny.
May I say something, Barry?
Yeah. Hold on Jesse one second, Gilman. Yossi, hold on one second. I just want to. Okay, Yossi, please. This is my father's first cousin. They grew up very close to each other. Both
we grew up across the street from each other.
Across the street, yeah.
The closest of all the cousins, and always gentle and always wonderful. And my Yomer Habrios, what would people say about him? Whether it was someone in shul, friend in yeshiva, or even customers who dealt with him in the food business. And a person who was Ohuv Labrios, Ohav Lamakim, someone who's beloved by people. It's a siman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him and his neshama shehav in Aliyah, and the children should carry on the legacy. And your mother's a gesundheit, but Barbara, to be well and enjoy the nachas.
Thank you. Thank you, Yossi. And he really, we know how close you were, and it's very wonderful that you're on. Thank you so much. Okay. So I'm going to load up the video montage. What's that? Yeah, I'll turn the computer so people here can watch it. Hold on, just give me 1 second. I want to thank everyone for coming on, family, friends, really very meaningful for all of us that everyone's on. And I know I might see my sister's on, but muted, and my brother-in-law, and Aviva Rosenthal, and Rachel is on, and Ari is on. So thank you. I'm sure I miss people. Herb, I see, is on.
Barry, so thank you. I love you.
Love you, too. That's my mom, who is moving to Colorado because she just joined the Olympic ski team. And so she's coming here to train as an Olympic skier. Yeah. So at what she's on, you know, yeah, it's amazing. Who knew? Okay, here we go. Let me unshare this screen.
Well, I am from Montreal. I'm from Canada, you know.
Right. I'm going to unshare this screen. And you just sent me the link, right, Gabby? Okay, so I'm going to open this. Hold on. And then I'm going to turn it around so people could watch it. But hold on. Didn't share yet. I'm going to share it now. Hold on. Okay.
I've been showing it around the neighborhood.
All right. Mm-hmm. So sorry it's a small screen, but you guys can watch it if you want. Let me just...
It's gone.
All right, here we go. Can you hear this on Zoom?
We're not getting the sound. You have to share a sound.
Okay. Maybe we can. Sorry, no. Just 1 second. There is a way to share the sound. Give me 1 second. Yeah, share sound.
Everyone deserves a chance to walk with everyone else while holding down a job to keep my girl around. Maybe buy me some new strings and her night out on the weekend. Can whisper things, secrets from our American dreams. Baby needs some protection.
I've been noticing I say the same things he used to say. And I even find myself acting the very same way. I tap my fingers on the table to the rhythm in my soul. And I jangle the car keys when I'm ready to go. When I look in the mirror, he's right there in my eyes, staring back at me. And I realize the older I get, the more I can see how much he loved my mother and my brother and me. And he did the best that he could. And I only hope when I have my own family, that every day I see a little more of my father in me. I thought he was being just a little bit hard on me, but now I understand he was making me become the man he knew that I could be. In everything he ever did, he always did with love. And I'm proud today to say I'm his son. When somebody says, I hope I get to meet your dad, I just smile and say, you already have. The older I get, the more I can see how much he loved my mother and my brother to me. And he did the best that he could. And I only hope when I have my own family, but every day I see a little more.
Okay. Thank you all for coming, and I'm gonna end the Zoom meeting now. Thank you all for coming on.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabi. Thank you. Love you. Bye, Yossi.
Beautiful. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.